Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number 2 of a Football Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Week number 14 of this 2023 NFL regular season already underway following a Thursday night in Pittsburgh that featured a historically low total, and somehow, some way, it went over. The Patriots pulling off the upset as a 6-point underdog, 21-18 over the Steelers. An important game for the playoffs. Playoff race for Pittsburgh. Does that set the stage for Sunday around the National Football League? Donnie Wrightside and myself will tell you all about it as we roll on here into hour number 2.
Yeah, exciting times here. A lot moving on here. Maybe even some hot stove by the end of the show. We'll keep you updated on that. But the NFL certainly going to take center stage as we wind down towards the NFL playoffs. Each game means so much more. And also, weather conditions in December, Ben, of course, much different than September when it's all smiles out there and sunshine.
You're telling me Donnie Wrightside has the scoop? Shohei Ohtani to the Blue Jays? Okay. Donnie, can you confirm? That's what I just got in my ear.
Look,
come on, man.
I take out your biases
and at least let the bit be good for a moment.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
A moment.
We could have had
moment.
Something.
Out of this name.
Yo, now you're going to make fun of me for a mispronunciation in the bit that you ruined because you killed the punchline before it even got off the ground.
Yes.
Fantastic. Let's talk about football then. No more baseball hot stove talk for the rest of the show. It starts on Sunday in Santa Clara, the largest spread of the weekend in favor of the NFL favorite right now to win the Super Bowl here in 2023. Before we dive into the matchup, let's welcome in that Sports Grid radio audience, Sirius XM Channel 159, all of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the mix as well. He is Donnie, I am Ben, in the San Francisco 49ers, a 10.5-point favorite in a divisional game against the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday afternoon back at home. Inside Levi's Stadium. 46.5 is the over under. Donnie, the largest spread of the weekend, the only one north of double digits before we get to Monday night football. Is it too many points in favor of San Francisco with a Seahawks team that is still firmly in the race for an NFC wildcard spot?
I'm going to take the 10.5 here in this game, Ben. And I do think the 49ers win the football game. Obviously, they're favored by double digits. They're humming. They're hitting on all cylinders coming out of their bye week. And they look good. But also at the same time, I finally like what I'm seeing out of the Seattle Seahawks, Ben. Take a look at their 3-game snapshot. Rams game, 16 points lost. San Francisco 49ers, they're going to play 13 points. Banged up at wide receiver. Hamstring injuries across the board. DK Metcalf's hip. Then they woke up against the Dallas Cowboys. Sure, they lost that game, Ben. But 41-35. 334 yards in the air passing. If I'm going to get a healthy wide receiver core here, which it looks like I am, why can't we get over this total and then to stick it late? Because even though I don't like Seattle technically to win that football game, if Geno Smith and those wide receivers, again, are down 17 in the fourth quarter, they can mount the drive and put that together. And also keep in mind, as big a win for the 49ers as it was last week, you're still having to play football the following week. They put a lot of emphasis into that game, circled the wagons and circled the calendar date here way back in March when this football season coming up, where they knew they were going to go to the Philadelphia Eagles. It's a divisional game. They got waxed and they had an easy 18-point win. I think this game is going to be close here. I'll take the 10.5 points with Seattle.
Yeah, me as well. The Seahawks know that they can compete with the best. Can they beat the best? It's a different story. San Francisco wins this football game and improves to 10-3, grabbing their 10th win of the season, in my estimation. The Niners, Donnie, have won 9 games so far. They've been booked as the favorite in every game. Depending on where you got numbers, San Francisco has either covered in every game, they have covered in 8 of the 9 and pushed once, or they haven't covered in 2 of those 9 victories. Because you look back at week number two against the Rams, a 7.5-point line, a late field goal for Sean McVay to cover for L.A. when they had the hook added on to the touchdown. And Donnie, I remember on a football Friday, just under a month ago, as San Francisco got ready to host Tampa Bay. It was their second game out of the bye week. They had hammered Jacksonville the week prior. The line was 11.5. It closed at nearly two touchdowns, and San Francisco won by 13. San Francisco has been dominant. They have scored at least 27 points in all nine of their victories this year, which I expect to be the case on Sunday in Santa Clara. Probably not dealing with those weather conditions we will see up and down the Eastern Seaboard on Sunday. And we know Seattle can add it up as well. I like the over of 46.5. So here's where San Francisco stands entering week number 14. To be the number one seed in the NFC, despite the victory in Philadelphia, the 49ers are not the favorites. It's still the Eagles at minus 125, but Philly, a 3.5-point underdog in Dallas. If the odds stand, Philly would be 10-3. Dallas would be 10-3. San Francisco would be 10-3. There's a chance the Lions could also be 10-3 at the end of this weekend. The Niners are going to win their division. They're the only team above 500 at minus 20,000. I can't believe FanDuel's even still hanging a price. They're the favorites to win the NFC by more than a dollar in front of Philly now at plus 120. And maybe most significantly, Donnie, the favorites to win Super Bowl 58, plus 320. Nearly a $2 cushion in front of the Eagles and over $2 in front of Kansas City.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this finishes out. But let's take a look just at that, the whole NFC, you know, mosh pit here, if we will, at the top of the division. The Philadelphia Eagles here, if they lose this football game, I think the worst thing that can happen to them is they get the number two overall seed in the NFC. The reason I say that here is the Eagles should beat Seattle, and then they have three cream puffs to end the season. That's unlike just about everybody else. Now, the 49ers probably more likely to get that top seed. They're still going to have a really tough game, but it's at home against the Baltimore Ravens on Christmas Day. There's a good reason to believe that the 49ers will run the table from here on out, but still some divisional games. We always know how tricky they can get it sometimes. The reason why, we're not leaving the Dallas Cowboys out at 10-3 going like, why don't they have an even chance at getting the number overall seed? Because their tough schedule kicks in this weekend with the start of the Philadelphia Eagles game. That's why I do think Dallas is going to make the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to threaten the Eagles for division supremacy, because the Eagles have a couple layups to end the season when you're taking a look at other teams playing the Cowboys that have so much to play for and are so talented here. So for me, if you're asking me now, Donnie, what's going to happen? Niners 1, Eagles 2 here in the NFC.
Right now, Philadelphia has the fifth easiest schedule remaining. Again, Dallas is the only team on the docket that has a winning record at this point remaining for Philadelphia. San Francisco, 10th easiest schedule, but they do have a Christmas Day matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. We'll continue to fly around the NFL Week 14 slate. A big one, Donnie, that we talked about earlier, Trevor Lawrence was back on the practice field in limited capacity yesterday, but Jacksonville still a 3-point underdog on the road in Cleveland. The over-under up, though, it was 30.5 yesterday, now 32 and a hook.
Yeah, it's going higher here because you're getting a little bit better weather conditions here. Earlier in the week, it was supposed to be rain and heavy winds. Now we're getting no precipitation, about 40 degrees, and winds anywhere between 10 to 13 miles an hour. Much more manageable, but who are we getting at the quarterback position? Is Amari Cooper going to be playing at wide receiver here for the Cleveland Browns? This game still appeals to me as an under, Ben.
Yeah. We'll continue to talk about that game, what it means for the AFC playoff picture, and even Jacksonville trying to win the AFC South once again on the other side of the break here on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As a part of the NFL Sunday slate here in week number 14, only two games feature a touchdown spread or greater. We talked about the 49ers laying 10.5 on Sunday afternoon at home against the Seattle Seahawks. Another NFC West team fits that distinction, except they're the underdog, getting 7.5 points on the road, making the trip to the Charm City in the Baltimore Ravens. The flock emerging out of their bye week, they lay 7.5 against the LA Rams. Is this spread fitting, Donnie, for Sunday in Baltimore?
I do think it is fitting because I think the Baltimore Ravens are in the upper echelon of the NFL. It's interesting to see, though, what we're actually getting when you're trying to look at the Los Angeles Rams, because it's one of those teams that's like, ooh, can they put it together to make the playoffs? And normally a few weeks ago, you would say, absolutely not, they can't do it. But and now Matthew Stafford throwing dimes all over the place, Nacua, Kupp, Kyren Williams comes back, looks like he's the best running back in football, and away you go. But also keep in mind with this. This is a dome team on the West Coast. Matthew Stafford is a pocket quarterback. Again, why am I bringing this up? Guys, it's real important this weekend. The weather conditions, rain steady throughout this entire football game, 15-mile-an-hour winds. So who is that going to benefit here? I don't know. Sounds like a recipe that the Ravens absolutely love with Lamar Jackson in their backfield and controlling the ground game here. They'll be rested and ready for this game, but also comes down to if you get the hook, right? 7.5, probably appetizing here for the Rams. 7, maybe you're looking more towards the Ravens in this spot. I'm going to give the Ravens the benefit of the doubt. The weather conditions will be in their favor. They're in the bye week. They're at home, and the Rams traveling across the country. I think the Ravens come back with a vengeance after the bye and say, you know what? We're going to be that top overall seed in the AFC. Watch us go.
Right now, the Ravens tied for the top record in the AFC at 9-3 alongside the Miami Dolphins. A doubleheader of Monday Night Football, by the way, coming your way here in week number 14. The Ravens have been booked as a favorite in 11 of 12 games. They've been north of a touchdown favorite three times this year. They are 1-2 against the spread. 2-1 straight up. The second time they were booked as the a touchdown or greater favorite was week number 3 against Indianapolis. They lost that game outright in overtime, 22-19. I do believe in Baltimore in this spot. Three totals for the Ravens at 40.5, where it is or less this year. Two of the three under. I would lean to the under given those weather conditions and given Baltimore's propensity to keep things on the ground or at least excel in that category a little bit more than the LA Rams. Here's an NFC North game that really catches the eye. A divisional duel, a rematch of what we saw just 3 weeks ago when the Lions were down by 2 touchdowns under 4 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter and had to storm all the way back against the Chicago Bears. They did win that game outright, and they were an 8.5-point home favorite. Now look at the line. Only 3 in favor of the Lions. Yes, they're on the road in Chicago at Soldier Field. The over-under, 43.5. But you do the spread math there, DRS, and there is a huge discrepancy, over 5 points of difference from where these two teams entered just 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I'm actually looking towards points in this one because even though you watched the last time the Chicago Bears played, you weren't all that impressed here at their offense, but I do think there's some positives here and continue to open up with Justin Fields. He can throw. What do you open up that game? 10 of 10, 12 of 12 to start the game against the Minnesota Vikings? We'll see if that plays into it. The Detroit Lions also a team that should have any issues going up and down the field on that Chicago Bears defense. And this is one of those football games. This is what we expect out of Chicago. No precipitation in the forecast, Ben. Around 10-mile-an-hour winds and 35 degrees. This isn't as if a dome team's going to go outdoors and play in a torrential rainstorm and play in ridiculously cold conditions. That's not going to happen here. And also, you're probably looking at this line to open the week. I'm like, hold on, what gives here, right? 3-point line for Detroit. They should go in and walk over the Chicago Bears. I'm giving the Chicago Bears a little bit of a bump over the past few weeks, getting outside of Tyson Bagent at their quarterback and going back to Justin Fields. I think they can hang tight with this game. Am I looking to take the Chicago Bears in the 3 points? Not necessarily, but actually I do think the Chicago Bears should have some success on offense going up against the Detroit Lions, which leads me into that over 43.5. I do think makes some sense here.
Since Justin Fields' return, Chicago has been booked as an underdog in both games. They have covered in both. Of course, they won outright in Minneapolis on that Monday night before the bye for both Chicago and Minnesota. They went over 47.5 in that first matchup in Detroit just 3 weeks ago, 31-26, the final in favor of Detroit. So not only a large difference in the spread, 8.5 points now down to only 3 in favor of Detroit. A total at 47 and a hook is now 43.5. Some big disparities for two teams that we saw just a few weeks ago. Yes, when you play in the Motor City, it's inside the dome, inside Ford Field, fast on the turf. But as Donnie just alluded to, Weather is incredibly crucial. By the time you get to December, it's going to be a little bit cold there on the shores of Lake Michigan in Chicago, but no precipitation, and the wind, not necessarily a huge factor in the Windy City. Donnie, we shared the news updates yesterday for the Minnesota Vikings emerging out of the bye as well. It was a disaster in their final game before the bye as a 3-point home favorite. Joshua Dobbs threw 4 INTs. They lost outright to Chicago. Minnesota enters the bye at 6-6. They're one of 4 teams in the NFC at 6-6, battling for those final 2 NFC wildcard spots. They emerge out of the bye. Joshua Dobbs remains the starting quarterback. Justin Jefferson is back. He will play in his first game since week number 5 against the Chiefs when he was injured early on in that opening half. The Vikings, a 3-point road favorite in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and some would be looking at this football game, well, what are we going to get actually out of Justin Jefferson? This isn't that normal, hey, you know what, I rushed back after 3 weeks, didn't go on IR. I think the Minnesota Vikings took the exactly perfect game plan, even if they thought their season was actually over and doing the prudent thing for Justin Jefferson in the future, because that coincided with Kirk Cousins going down, Jefferson goes out. Hey, look, this season is a lost cause here, kid. Just stick it out. We don't want you, you know, rushing back to the football field, because technically we're probably not going to need you. Now we're looking at 6, 7, 8 weeks later. He's back fully healthy. Yep. And also, coming back to practice on a Wednesday with full practice, no limited, not like let me just see how it goes. He's full going ready, which is great here. And also, how many times we've been talking about this morning, what are the weather conditions we're going to have to worry about? Absolutely none in this game. A dome team playing another dome team in a dome here. So I'm looking at those Dobbs numbers at 225. Yeah. I think he goes over the total. Sometimes, Ben, you just have to recenter yourself. Hey, you know what? Riding that hot streak here, I was really bad against the Chicago Bears. Let me get my focus back. And what better focus to get back than a top 3 wide receiver in the NFL coming to help you out against an underwhelming defense. I look for a solid performance out of Dobbs and that offense on Sunday. I don't know if I love laying the 3 points, but if you ask me now, who would you rather take? It still would be the Minnesota Vikings, but quite frankly, maybe a Minnesota Vikings team total to the over. They'll move the football this weekend.
Listen, we've seen what incredibly successful offensive players can do for even a backup quarterback. Jake Browning had Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins back on Monday night. He threw for over 350 yards. I'm not saying Joshua Dobbs is going to do that, but to have Justin Jefferson back, who might be the best wide receiver in the NFL when fully healthy, Tyreek Hill has that distinction at the moment. When you add that back to your offense, you are only going to see positive returns. I like the Vikings in this spot. The Raiders have played to the under in 9 of their 12 games this year. Of course, under Antonio Pierce, they have been booked as the underdog in their last 2 games. They covered against the Miami Dolphins, nearly a 2-touchdown dog. They did not cover despite having a halftime lead, or at least up early in the first quarter, over the Kansas City Chiefs. The Minnesota Vikings, 6-6, plus 102 to make the postseason, slightly favored to miss instead of make. I don't think Joshua Dobbs is going to be as bad as he was in the final game for Minnesota entering the bye. Donnie, quickly here, let's get to the final game we have to discuss in week number 14 before we welcome on Mike Blewett. It's a virtual pick'em as we shared yesterday. The Colts and the Bengals now working to Cincinnati's side. They're a 1.5 home favorite, minus 126 on the money line.
Yeah, check the weather conditions there. Not too bad here. Again, that's in that similar area that we were talking about Cleveland, where it's like, hey, that number is rising, and for good reason, because maybe the weather isn't as bad as we anticipated. 40 degrees, no precipitation, winds under 10 miles an hour. You want to talk about a true coin flip, this is it here. But by the way, loved what I saw out of Browning last week. Indianapolis is not going to be surprised by that as they come out throwing, but Minshew's going to answer back. Look at this. Minshew versus Browning. Let's go over the total, Ben. Let's have some fun here.
I completely agree. 43.5. Indy has won 4 straight. They're 5-1 away from Indianapolis. More Sunday preview next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on a Football Friday, which means one thing, and that means Mike Blewett joins us here on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben. The guy on the right is Donnie Wrightside, and Mike Blewett is the man in the middle. You can see Blue Sunday afternoons live right here on In-Game Live All Access to keep you updated at the end of the witching hour in the early window and, of course, into the Sunday afternoon slate that is filled with dandies on this Sunday, week 4. 14. But before we begin, Blewett, is there anything you would like to say about your Pittsburgh Steelers, booked as north of a field goal favorite for two consecutive weeks at home against two teams that entered with only two wins and lost both of the football games outright?
Well, for anybody that was asking me whether or not you would lay the 6 points, I said unequivocally, no, do not do that. No. Mitch Trubisky the starting job was unfortunately as inaccurate as you could be early. I thought there was a lot of questionable play calling throughout the game, especially late on a 3rd and 2. They don't get it. Then they throw a bomb on 4th and 2 to seal the game. A lot of questions that I have about it, but this really just isn't the same team that we saw even a month ago when we acknowledged that despite the winning record, there are a lot of warts. There's a bunch of players out defensively, linebackers out. Alex Highsmith goes out in the middle of the game. Watt gets banged up. Kenny Pickett isn't playing until week 18. And honestly, I don't know really what the point is of bringing him back in week 18, unless there's really a playoff bid on the line. I just don't suspect there will be at this point. So two really bad performances in a span of 4 days. They earned both of those losses. No excuses, but this team just isn't what it was a month ago.
So as we get ready for this Sunday slate, week number 14, Blue, we go to a game that will be in your afternoon window live right here on the grid Sunday afternoon. The Chargers and the Broncos, an intriguing game because the Bolts are two games below 500 at 5-7. But they're a 2.5-point home favorite against the Broncos team that just had their 5-game win streak snapped last week on the road in Houston. But at 6-6 for Denver, firmly in that AFC wild card race. Blewett, how do you approach Sunday in Los Angeles?
Yeah, really interesting games, as you said, in the late window, this being one of them. I do think, and I've said before, Chargers really one of the most difficult teams to bet on in the entire league, probably the most difficult team to bet on. It's hard to know what to trust. 6-0 wins, head-scratching losses. They punch it out with the Lions in a game a few weeks ago. So you don't really know what you're going to get. I will say that this has a lot of strong trends towards the under. I will say, just to pick a side, I don't feel great about it, but I would lay the points here. I think the fact that it's under a field goal, I'm going to lean with the Chargers here. Denver's defense has obviously played a lot better, but my ultimate feeling on this game is I don't think we're going to see too many points. There's trends against both teams on the number. Denver 1-1-3 on the road this year. The Chargers are 1-4-1 at home against the number, but under. Chargers are 9 of their last 10, and 9 of their last 10 at home versus Denver. Denver to the under 8-2 is a short underdog. So I think we have a tight game here. It's probably separated by a field goal or not much more than that. I'll lean to the Chargers, but my main bet here is the under.
Moving forward with these two football teams, Mike, let's just say, because coming into this game, Denver 6-6, currently the 9th seed here, and obviously the top 7 get into the playoffs here, but the Chargers at 5-7 in that 12 seed. Everybody feels like outside of the New England Patriots are out of it, but even last week, you said the Denver Broncos for myself and the Houston Texans wasn't necessarily an eliminator game, but certainly pushes the winning team here into a higher standard of possibly making the playoffs. If we're looking at both of these teams, Denver and Los Angeles, who do you trust more down the stretch? Like, let's just say if the Chargers win, they move to 6-7, right in the thick of things. Do you trust the Chargers can actually get to the playoffs, or is this just fool's gold right now with a bunch of bad football teams still hovering around the playoffs?
I think we discussed it last week where the discussion points have changed a little bit in the AFC as to, wow, some of these stalwarts are really going to hammer it out at the end of the season, but we're really discovering that there's a lot of flaws. Obviously, we have a lot of backup quarterbacks in across the league, but there's a lot of flaws amongst these teams. So I don't know that it'll obviously position one team a little bit better, but if the Chargers pull off this game, they still have at Vegas, the Bills, at Denver, and the Chiefs. Season is far from over. This doesn't position them any better or worse because you don't know what Chargers team you're going to get. Plus, they have 4 more tough games coming up, divisional games, and the Bills coming up, who is very hard to stop the Bills offensively right now.
Nobody is really out of it in the AFC. That's not because we have a ton of teams that are taking the world by storm. But now with Pittsburgh's loss, sorry, Blue, there are 3 teams at 7-5 that currently occupy those 3 wild card spots in the AFC, led by the Browns, the Colts, then the Texans, the Steelers on the outside at 7-6, the Bills 6-6, the Broncos 6-6, the Bengals 6-6. The Bolts would have to leapfrog a ton of teams to earn one of those playoff positions in the AFC. Somebody's going to win the NFC South. But for a second consecutive year, that somebody might come with a sub-500 record. Right now, the only team at 500 in the NFC South is the Atlanta Falcons. They're a short 2.5-point home favorite this upcoming Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But the Bucs are only a game back. They're 5-7. How important is this one on Sunday in Atlanta between the Buccaneers and the Falcons?
It's a pretty big one, if only because the Falcons, I believe, still have the easiest remaining schedule the rest of the way. They're going to be at the Panthers next week. They'll have the Colts, then they're at the Bears and at the Saints. Obviously, some tough games, given the fact that they are a 6-6 football team for them, but all imminently winnable. I think that Bears might be packing it up in the next couple of weeks and looking towards a new regime. potentially a new coaching regime, potentially a new quarterback. So that's going to be a difficult dynamic for the Bears to manage unless you get a superhero performance by Fields. So what I'll say in this game is the Bucs just are not good against the number under Todd Bowles, 8-16-1 in all their games in the last 25, 2-5 versus the NFC South in their last seven. But the over is interesting. The last 10 times Tampa has played in Atlanta, 8-2 to the over, and 17 as road underdogs is Tampa to the over. Atlanta, though, 1-6 as a favorite. So this is another one of those games, not dissimilar to what we just talked about, where, you know, field goal sort of makes sense. I'm going to lean with Atlanta, if only because they have a brand of football. When they are playing the way they want to play and playing right, they can churn the clock. They're not going to give Tampa enough opportunities to score. I think Bijan can be successful here. I think it's a Bijan Robinson game, churn out the clock, and come away with a pretty ugly victory.
Yeah, Tampa loses this game, I think they're going to be eliminated from the conversation because Atlanta then will have back-to-back wins over them, which would give them the tie-breaking advantage. We'll see where they go down the stretch here. But also, if we keep it in the same division, the Carolina Panthers, we know, are bad. But boy, oh boy, every week, who knows what we're getting out of the New Orleans Saints. They're listed, Mike, here as 5.5-point favorites and a total of 37.5. Jameis Winston looks like he's going to be under center this weekend here for the Saints, and they're banged up wide receiving core. Is it just so easy to just continually fade the Carolina Panthers, or did they show something by actually getting a cover moral victory last week for the Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, it's a tough backdoor cover for a lot of people. I had the Bucs -3, so that 2-point conversion that they stopped and then got a chance to redo was a pretty bad beat. But obviously a lot of people had the Bucs -3.5, so you lost on that 2-point conversion. So I think the Panthers have played like the worst team. They've acted like the worst team. I think they are the worst team. I don't see the moral victory component there, but 5.5 is dangerous. I just think it is. Jameis has too much of a penchant to turn the ball over for me to lay the 5.5. I'd want the Saints either live, which is difficult because you don't know if the Panthers are going to get in the end zone anytime early on in the game, or as part of a teaser. I just think that 5.5 number is a little bit too much. Could be another ugly game like we saw last week with Carolina and Tampa. I just don't ever know what I'm going to get out of the Saints, to your point, Donnie. I know even less what they're going to get with Jameis Winston under center. So I think this is something where you're looking to package the Saints in a tease.
I don't think the Saints should be laying 5.5 to anybody in the NFL, but New Orleans has been booked as a favorite in 10 of their 12 games this year. 1-8-1 against the number, not covering by an average margin of about 6 points per game. Dreadful. Of course, the Panthers have been a dog in all 12 of their games, 2-8-2, with that second cover coming last week as a 5.5-point underdog. Blue, as we look at the NFC South overall, right now the Atlanta Falcons are near a $2 odds on favorite. But there's a chance that they're 6-7 at the end of this week. The Bucs are 6-7, and the Saints should at least win outright at home against Carolina to get to 6-7. The Panthers, the only team in the NFL already eliminated from postseason contention. Ultimately, Mike Blewett, who wins the NFC South divisional crown this season?
Tough question. I'll just go with Atlanta. Thank you. I just think there's a path to them playing the way that Arthur Smith wants him to play. I'm sometimes scratching my head as to what he's doing and eliminating some of his weapons through the game plan, like Pitts and London. But I just think that Bijan and some of the other weapons are one of the better young groups in the NFL. I like them late in this season to pull off a few wins. But again, this division's playing each other a lot for the next month, so our answers could change quite a bit over the next few weeks.
And because of that, the three teams that you see right there, the Bucs, the Saints, and the Falcons, have three of the seven easiest schedules remaining in the National Football League. Atlanta, the easiest at this point. Plenty more with Mike Blewett going all around the Sunday slate, week number 14, up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here live on a Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside is here, and so too is Mike Blewett for a second consecutive segment. What a Sunday slate we have, week number 14, where a lot ramps up in the afternoon hours. That's where you can see Big Blue here on IGL All Access starting Sunday afternoon at 4:25 p.m. Eastern Time. So we go from Sunday afternoon into Sunday Night Football. Blewett, for the fourth consecutive week, I think you could make an argument it has a game of the year feel to it for the Philadelphia Eagles. This time on the road on Sunday night at the Star in Dallas. The Cowboys a 3.5-point favorite. The over-under 51.5. Blue, what are the numbers, the spread and the total, telling you about how this football game will play out on Sunday night?
So these teams obviously played a few weeks ago. Philly gets the close win. And I'm of the opinion that the Cowboys got way too much credit for losing that game. You know what I mean? There was a lot of discussion about, wow, the Cowboys really hung in there. But you don't get moral victories when you're going up against your divisional opponent. Yeah, I was on the road, but they made huge mistakes at the end of the game. Play calling mistakes, they ran bad routes, Dak steps out of bounds, and they lose the game. I just thought they got a gold star for a game in which they lost and should have won, but didn't, because they made big mistakes. The types of mistakes, unfortunately, that have lived with the Cowboys for far too long, and it's why they don't beat winning teams. But Dinah and I were talking during the break, and he made an excellent point. It's something I've been thinking about all week. The fact that Dallas hasn't had to travel anywhere and is getting extra rest, and if there's one thing that we saw from last Sunday, the Eagles look worn out. The Niners wore them out, but they looked worn out by the second quarter. They were worn out. And I just have a lot of concerns with the Eagles' pass defense, the way that Dak has been playing. Last seven games, Dak has 21 touchdowns and just 2 interceptions. It's impressive, the run that they're on offensively. And I just feel that that's the way they're going to have to attack the Eagles. And I think they can do a lot to take advantage of that Eagles secondary, which is a far cry from where they were a year ago, even with the addition of Kevin Byard. So I like the Cowboys on Sunday night.
Ben and I were talking a little bit earlier in the show, like, what is going to happen, you know, the next part of the season for all three of these ball clubs in the NFC, including the San Francisco 49ers. For my money here, I still do think now that the San Francisco 49ers, and I'm prefacing by saying the Eagles lose to the Cowboys this weekend, that gives the upper hand to the 49ers with the advantage of beating head-to-head Philadelphia Eagles. Tough game left on their schedule, yes, against the Baltimore Ravens. But let me set this up. Dallas, let's just say they win this football game. Everybody's in that 10-win circle in the NFC. Are you buying the Cowboys, Mike, or are you just saying like I am, that schedule is really hard for the Cowboys? Yes, they're good, but the Dolphins, the Detroit Lions, the Buffalo Bills still left on their schedule. There's still a loss in there for me.
Oh, for sure. I don't think this makes Dallas, well, Dallas is now the class of the NFC. I certainly won't be the one having that discussion. I think it will prove that they can hang with some of these better teams, but you know, Dallas's defense early in the year was getting a lot of accolades. We don't talk about it that much these days. Micah Parsons isn't as dominant a force as he was earlier in the season. I think players like DeMarcus Lawrence and others have helped this defense to maintain some level of effectiveness. But I just don't know that this puts them in a different tier or moves them above Philly in any significant way. There's a lot that has to do with timing here. And to your point, Donnie, This is pretty good timing for the Cowboys, but it's about to get pretty rough when they start playing on Sunday. It was Sundays at, you know, a regular time again, and they're playing at Buffalo in the cold and at Miami. I think things will be a lot different. And that Miami game is going to be, those Buffalo-Miami games back-to-back are going to be a real test of how effective their defense is when they're getting run around all over the place.
Dallas has been great as the favorite this year. They are 8-2 against the spread. They have covered in 8 of their 9 victories so far this season. The only non-cover in a win was last week as a 9.5-point favorite on Thursday night against the Seattle Seahawks. But this is also the first time for Dallas booked as the favorite against a team that currently has a winning record above 500. The only two other teams they have played currently with a winning record above 500, the Eagles the first time they lost and did not cover as a 3.5-point underdog, and earlier in the year against San Francisco they got demolished 42-10 as a short underdog in Santa Clara as well. So the afternoon window is where things start to pick up. How about this one for you, Blue? On Sunday in Arrowhead, it's the Chiefs and the Bills. These two teams have met each of the past two regular seasons in Arrowhead. Buffalo has gone to KC Mo and come out on the winning end. Here, it's a 1.5-point spread in favor of the Chiefs. It's getting closer and closer on the money line to a virtual pick'em. Blewett, who leaves Arrowhead on Sunday afternoon with a win?
This is a really interesting game. I'm excited to watch it, cover it on Sunday. The Bills' offense has been a force to be reckoned with, and obviously they're coming off a bye week here. I think the rest kicks in again. I think we could have a classic on our hands, and I do like points in this game. I know it's easy to say because you have some higher-powered offenses, and a lot of times when you have higher totals, this one at 48.5, we don't quite get there, but I think these teams are going to get off to a pretty good start. I have a lot about the Bills' defense, obviously, and while the Chiefs' offense has sputtered lately, I still like them to get off to a good start. So the first half total, I have it in front of me right here. The first half total is 23.5. It's being bet to the over right now, minus 130. So a little bit of juice there, but I think that's the way to get there. The Chiefs' second half defense has proven to be stout in previous games. So I think you can take advantage of it here in the first half. Both offenses getting off to a good start. I'll lean towards the Bills in this one because they're coming off a little bit of rest, but I don't think a side is the way I want to attack this. I'm going to enjoy the game and see some points in the first half and see how it all turns out.
So the victors go the spoils in this game. Kansas City would certainly love that, to sort of fight their way back to that number one AFC contention here for that top spot. But the Buffalo Bills, Mike, I'm under the guise that they can afford one more loss. And I look at those losses coming from maybe Kansas City this weekend and the Dallas Cowboys here. But quite frankly, they still play the Miami Dolphins, and also two games that we thought would be easier, maybe not so much now. New life for the New England Patriots, and also still waiting here, maybe a playoff run for the Chargers. Is this a must win for the Buffalo Bills? If the Bills lose this game, are you writing them off?
No, I'm not. But to your point, Donnie, their path is as tough as anybody's here late in the season. The Ravens obviously have a tough schedule later in the year as well. But the Bills, it's all right in front of them. They are going to have to be better teams. They're going to be underdogs in a couple of these games. The offense is just going to have to keep playing at a high rate because the defense has not shown themselves to be good enough to keep other teams off the scoreboard.
And when you look at the power ratings potentially of the many teams involved in the AFC wildcard race, Buffalo is by far the best. The Bills have a 20-1 price to win the AFC Championship. It's the shortest number right now on FanDuel for teams in that conference that are not currently in the divisional lead. There's a large drop off from Jacksonville at 9-1 to Buffalo at 20-1, but they're in front of the Texans, they're in front of the Bengals, they're in front of the Steelers and the Browns and so on and so forth. But when you look at the actual overall records and where things stand, Buffalo has a very difficult path to get back into postseason contention. But they're facing a Chiefs team that I think there are legitimate questions on the offensive woes. Last week in Green Bay, only 19 points, the sixth time this year in 12 games. KC has scored 20 points or less. The Chiefs averaging nearly 23 points per game this year, but they're 11th best in scoring last year at this point, over 29 points per game on average, best scoring offensive unit at this point entering week number 14 around the National Football League. Blewett also in that late afternoon Sunday window, the largest spread that we see on the Sunday slate, San Francisco, a 10.5 point favorite against the Seattle Seahawks. The 49ers have been world beaters since losing three straight games entering their bye. Will they continue it here at home in Santa Clara against the Hawks?
Yeah, it's a big number. Obviously, divisional games laying 10 points, that's a difficult thing to do. I think, again, this is a game that you can separate by halves. The Niners are a team that scores a lot in the first half, 15.6 points per game in the first half. I think you want to look for first half Niners over, first half Niners spread. That's the way that they've been really putting it on teams throughout the year. So I think that's the way I'd like to attack it as opposed to laying a big 10.5. But it won't surprise me if they blow the Seahawks out here. The Niners really clicking on all levels right now, playing like the best team in the NFL. But again, there's a long way to go. I'm not crowning any champions yet. There's a lot of movement to happen still in these leagues with so many divisional games happening, especially late in the season.
On the FanDuel Sportsbook, Mike, six teams listed as 9-1 or less and to win the Super Bowl, included the San Francisco 49ers as the favorites here at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a plus 320 price. Just simply here, do we agree that San Francisco is the front runner right now in the NFL to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I just think they're playing too well to have a game like that where they go on the road and smash the NFC champion from a year ago. I don't see how you could disagree, but it doesn't mean that. I thought it was the biggest proof that Purdy could go on the road and win a big game. It was the biggest proving point for the Niners, for this team, this version of this team. But the pressure is going to ramp up on Brock Purdy when it gets to January and February. And I think we still are all going to have questions about him until he does it. It's not disrespecting him as a player. It's just we have a 25-30 year history of the quarterbacks that win the Super Bowls. And outside of Joe Flacco, maybe Eli, who is the guy that wasn't a star?
It's a good point. But right now, Brock Purdy, co-favorite to win that NFL MVP award alongside Dak Prescott. Speaking of Joe Flacco, is he going to start for the Browns on Sunday? Is Dorian Thompson-Robinson back? Quarterback questions for Cleveland. Some quarterback uncertainty for Jacksonville, but if you study the line, not so much. Despite Trevor Lawrence being limited at practice yesterday, we expect C.J. Beathard to get the start for the Jaguars. It's why the line is 3, in my estimation, in favor of the Browns, but an important game. Jacksonville still a one-game cushion in the AFC South, but both the Colts and the Texans hot on their heels at 7-5. The Browns also 7-5, currently have that top wild card spot in the AFC. What does the line being 3 points in the Browns' favor in Cleveland on Sunday, Blue, tell you?
It tells me that there's not too much confidence in C.J. Beathard. Plus, the defense really didn't get it done against Jake Browning at all. Jake Browning looked like a star the other day. He was great. So, I'm gonna ride with Jacksonville here only because I thought Flacco got off to a good start in LA the other day, and I thought the team looked bad after that. I thought they played a bad game against the Rams the rest of the way. They let Stafford march down the field several times. I just think Jacksonville's overall the better team. This is another tight one. If anybody out there had any preconceived notions that the NFL, that they could master the NFL, I challenge you to look at this week's slate. Come up with a lot of winners or consistent winners. A very tough slate. I'm going to ride with the Jacksonville Jaguars here, getting the 3 points. Yeah. I think they can get it done offensively.
9 of the 12 games, week 14, Sunday slate, 3.5 points in the spread or less. There's not a lot of edges to be had at this stage of the NFL season. Mike Blue will give them to you, though, on In-Game Live All Access on Sunday afternoon. Blue, thank you for TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A football Friday, sure, but as we end out hour number two live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, a small break from football for a historic weekend in the NBA. But before we do that, of course, it's the Sports Grid app. That never goes anywhere, even in commercial breaks, even when our time is done here on TEL. The Spiz Grizz app is always there for you. Scan the QR code on your screen. In a matter of moments, all of our insight and information available in the palm of your hand. We also love hearing from the people. It's time for Fade the Public. So, the NBA in-season tournament. The semifinals last night, a doubleheader out in Las Vegas. The NBA Cup Championship game comes your way tomorrow evening out in Viva Las Vegas. There's still one more game to go in the IST that I think is the slang term we use now for the in-season tournament. Shout out to our producers for putting that in there, and we have ran with it. Is the in-season tournament a success? That was the question. Donnie Wrightside at Sports Grid TV on Twitter in the Fade the Public poll. 61% of the public saying yes. Some people replying and saying we still don't know what's going on with it. But most of the public giving a nod of a successful inaugural year to the NBA's in-season tournament.
I would love to get an explanation, Ben, of what this final game actually means with all the seeding involved, and if you win it, what it means going away, and does it actually count in the standings? Now, I'm the ultimate curmudgeon, so I voted no just because I wanted to vote no, but I do think it was an in-season tournament success. Why? Because it wasn't a failure. When it first came on the scene, it was like, what do we need this for here? But it's actually worked its way through. You have a pretty good final in the end of it. But by the way, Ben, if that would have said, Donnie, do you love the NFL? I would have voted no on that, just to vote no, because that's the type of guy I am at that point. So you got to remove my vote from the equation. But the season tournament actually was a success because it went through. The players enjoyed it, and so did the fans. So you can't say no, even though, yes, I did vote no.
I love that. Always play the heel, Mr. Right Side. Hour three starts in less than a minute.